Levy Purvis, yachting monthly, May 2012. Oh no, you don't want to go at half ebb. Nasty eddies you get east of the Piggins. That's what we call the north side banks round here. And if you do go into Muddington Creek, be sure to anchor on the far side away from the village. It's a stiff row in the tender, but the holding's better. The pilot book don't make me laugh. That man's no better than a murderer, shouldn't be allowed. Oh, and don't go to the Wild Bull pub on the front either. There's a better one a mile inland up the grass track. Just say the skipper of Lady Mavis sent you down. He'll look after you. He knows me way back. And take your own mug. You're not thinking of going to Muddington? Well, you're not one to go round Roaring Point till springs take off. Three boats lost there last year. They call it the locals' Cape Horn. They never found two of the crew on that 50-footer. Theory is there's a whirlpool that sucks bodies into the mud. Gives them up 40 years later. Oh, you're going the other way? Oh, well, I wouldn't. Forecast says four or less, but there's an anvil cloud over to the west. Round here, we know what that means. Yes, we all know him, and it is usually a him. He sits on his boat in the marina or in the sawdust bar of the Ragged Mariner, as far from the gastropub end as he can get. He wears a salt-stained smock, his boots are impressively old, and until the smoking ban he emitted at all times a dense cloud of fog from a well-sucked pipe. Actually, he probably still has the pipe in his shirt pocket just to gesticulate with. Nobody's ever seen this bloke actually go out to sea, perhaps because his dedication to giving detailed, alarming local advice is so great that he would hate any innocent punter to slip through his net. In his perfect world, everyone would stay put and listen to him. The curious thing is that unlike the traditional ancient mariner, he rarely tells tales of his own seafaring. He just gives advice and anecdotes of nearby disasters. And of course, being nervous in a new cruising area and anxious for information, we may well fail to make a useful deduction from that. Distinguishing this species of doomy advisor from genuinely knowledgeable and helpful locals or regulars can be tricky. We have in the past trembled with fear through perfectly well-marked rocky passages because of dark tales of the loss of a fishing boat 50 years ago under entirely different conditions. "You've turned too soon, skipper. You've put us on the bitches," the mate cried, "and not one of that crew has ever found. There's a song about it." We've probably avoided perfectly nice pubs and anchorages. We've also had bits of advice which have saved us much travail, though, notably the man who urged us, with tears almost in his eyes, to go into the long inlet of Loch Ned in Argyll if the weather looked nasty. He was right. The pilot books make little of it, but there is a cunning dogleg which keeps all the westerly swell out, and it's a deep, safe, paradisaical anchorage. We pitched play tents for the children, and land birds sang to us, not seagulls. It was bliss. But I digress. What kicked off this meditation on marina doomsayers and dodgy advisers is that Paul, returning from South America, confesses how very easy it is to turn into the man who knows everything. It seems you only need to spend 2 days in an exotic harbour to be respectfully heeded by newcomers. They come in fazed by the heat, shouting, noisy angle grinders everywhere, disco boat racket, bureaucracy, muggers, language barriers and the general disorientation, which comes when the uncomplicated demands of the open sea are exchanged for the complications of the coast and irritations of the land. And there you are, 2 or 3 days into your cruising break, sitting comfortably under the bimini with a cold beer. The new crew, whose boat may actually be posher than yours, is looking at you with the wide, trusting eyes of a primary school reception class listening to Miss at story time. And it comes over you, this desire to impress, inform, and possibly, perish the thought, unfold a tale to freeze their innocent blood and make their hairs to stand on end like quills upon the fretful porpentine. Well, Paul resisted, so he says, and stuck to reliable information and a sharing of pilot books. I do hope so, but you can see the temptation.